Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, January 15th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXIX, the third line from the top of the page, beginning with, "After they have succumbed to the desire again," reading through two sentences ending, "There is very little hope of his recovery," commenting on these two sentences only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Dina B. Readers of the text today are Dana P., Becca R., and Sherry M. The reference number for Sunday, January 14th, is 21,037. That's 21037. And for this morning, January 15th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,038. That's 21038. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Laura L.W., and Lois P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. Any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Thank you, Dawn, for your service, and thank you, everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am working on my recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass. Thank you for service.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. And I'll now ask Dina B. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Dina B., a grateful compulsive overeater recovered in New Hampshire. The 12 Traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dina B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share in what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page XXIX, the third line from the top of the page, beginning with, after they have succumbed to the desire again, through two sentences, ending, there is very little hope of his recovery. And we're going to be commenting on these two sentences today. I will now ask Dana P. to begin reading and then share with us.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service and everyone that's here. I'm Dana P. I live in the state of California, and I'm a compulsive overeater, vomit bulimic, recovered. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution to not drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. Dr. Silforth, lovingly, the little man who loved drunks, I'm so impressed with his, his connection to the higher power, because that's really where the majority of this came from, and his experience watching these people that he didn't understand what was going on and he had no solution for. In these short little sentences, or actually it's one sentence or two anyhow, I see the problem and the solution. Well, it's what I thought was the problem. I thought the problem was my body and my mind, but really the truth of it was that I had a sickness in my soul, and that sickness in my soul was an emptiness. And at the same time, this aching, this desire, this longing to know God and what God is on a deeper level. And it's that phenomenon, that thing that I absolutely do not understand. And I realize now that I will never understand how all of this works. So I looked up the psychic change, and the psychic change is the ability to respond to life differently. And before, it really, the food and what I did with food and all of that insanity was my solution to that soul sickness. And what I've discovered is that that is not the problem, as I stated before. And there's really nothing I can do about it. And everything is God's grace. I do the things that are required of me. I eat the steps and the way of life, 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis, actually moment by moment. I continue to follow those directions. But ultimately, it's God's grace that it has me recovered. And so I like to look up words, looked up the word psychic, and it comes from the Greek, all the way down to the Greek. That's the origination of it. And it says relating to the soul. And this is really the fourth dimension. You know, we're talking about the fourth dimension, that experience that Bill had, that revelation that Bill had in the hospital. But for me, you know, I have to continue, 10, 11, 12, on a daily basis, moment by moment. And if you're new here and you're questioning what this is all about or what this psychic change may or may not look like, I like to refer people to page 52, which are the bedevilments, and pages 83 to 84, starting at the bottom, which are the promises. And asking the question, you know, is my life a demonstration of what I see written there on page 52? Or is my life a demonstration of what I see there written at the bottom of page 83 to 84? And that is my psychic change. I went from page 52 to the majority of the time, 83 to 84. And if anybody wants to talk some more about it, I'm happy to
Thank
do
you.
So. Yeah, I'm going to pass, Dawn. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dina P., for getting us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on these two sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Joanne L.
Bonnie B.
Joanne L.
Donna B.
Let's see. Tom L.
Bonnie B.
And, yes, I got Bonnie B, Joanne L, Tom L, and who was after Bonnie B but before Tom L? Who were those voices in there?
Donna B.
Ivana B.
Donna B, not Ivana.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just Donna. Donna.
Thank you. Very good,
Kathleen.
Donna.
And Kathleen
Donna B.
O.
Kathleen O. Okay. Let me tell you who I got, and let me know if I missed anybody. I have Joanne L., Bonnie B., Donna B., Tom L., Kathleen O.
Deborah R.
Deborah R. And let's go ahead. Did I miss anyone else that already announced? Okay, very good. Let's go with that lineup. We have Joanne L. followed by Bonnie B. Go ahead. Star one, Joanne.
I missed
Dawn.
The P.
Pardon?
I'm sorry, Dawn. I thought you said for me to go. I'm sorry.
Sure. Yep, I sure did. Go ahead, Joanne.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
It's Joanne L. From Rhode Island. And I want to explain that when I introduce myself, I say that I'm working on my recovery. For the longest time, I just have been doing my own thing. I've been in this program for 1,000 years, and, you know, there were times that I've lost the weight, gained the weight. But I want to say that I have come to the point, you know, that I just got sick and tired of not being able to really help others. I really want to help others because I do have another program that I am recovered in for 30 years. So when they talk about after they have succumbed to the desire, as so many do, that means to give up or to give in. And, you know, I didn't realize until I finally took on a sponsor, and this was after many years of just doing my own thing, and it wasn't working, but I didn't want to give in because I didn't want to give in. I wanted to eat the food. So after finally coming to my senses, praying about it, I took on a sponsor, and she was actually referred to me by another person. And I have been working with her, writing down my food, committing my food. And you know something? It's not as bad as I thought. I thought I was going to die if I had to do that again. Sponsor, commit my food, write it down. But now I realize just how much I was eating. And so I am so happy to be reading these lines today where it says, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. That's with bitter regret. How many times have I gone to bed and said, oh, God, you know, what did I do today? Look at all that I had today. Tomorrow's going to be different. And slam my head on the bar. I slam my hand on the bar, you know, saying, how did that ever happen? You know, I am just so beside myself, and it's only one day at a time. That's all it is. I'm not getting myself ahead of the game. I'm not getting myself too excited. I'm just loving what I'm doing. I do get down. I do in my knees in the morning. I do pray. I am a very prayerful person, and I just said, God, this is ridiculous what I'm doing. And I didn't want him to see what I was eating, but, you know, he knows everything. So I am so happy, you know, to be able to say I'm working on my recovery, and I'm going to say it for a while. So thank you for being here. And Dawn, thank you for your service, and thank you to the reader. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. Bonnie B., please share with us, followed by Donna B.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Dina, for the beautiful opening, and thank you again, Don, for your service leading the meeting. Bonnie B., in Florida, going through the steps again. Yeah, it feels raw to say that, but it's okay. You know, after they have succumbed, so this is like, it's going to happen, right? If I don't have that complete change on the inside, it's going to happen. And there have been times, so I had chunks of times where I felt like I'm there. I got it. Only to figure out I didn't. And so after they have succumbed to the desire again, that craving develops. And I pass through the well-known stages of that three, right? I mean, emerging so remorseful, so sad, so disappointed in myself. Let me tell you how grateful I am to have a program of people where I can pick up the phone and I can be honest with people. And what they say to me is, you know what? Most of them anyhow, been there, done that. Not a problem. God's got it. Give me your hand. Get back on top. Start, jump back in. Do what you need to do. Get back in the middle of the herd. If I didn't have that as a continual echoing within my ears, I would not be in this program. I have not shown up. I am not the one that had that instantaneous, recovery. I am of the educational variety, but I am so thankful and so grateful that every single time God brings something else to the surface, something else, higher power, that's going to draw me closer to Him, because that's the game plan. Because if it doesn't happen from the inside out, it's not going to make a change. I know that within my head. It has to go to my heart. God has to do what only God can do to change everything and how I view everything. When I'm able to accept myself, the world I live in, and my circumstances just as they are, I'm not necessarily endorsing them or cursing them. I'm not making a judgment call at all. I'm simply acknowledging where I'm at and turning that over in a 10-step. That's the inside-out stuff. And if I can live in that spot, I'm free for today. But if those emotions get me, if those emotions build back up and life happens and I don't run back to the gift that God has given me in these steps, I will pick up, because it's not the food. It's never been the food. The food is what I use to put the fire out, and the fire is the emotions. And so this paragraph is incredibly raw, but we know it's followed by a paragraph of great promise. And so I'm encouraged today. Delighted to be where I'm at in this program, because it is not about right or wrong or having arrived. It's about trusting God to do what only He can do, so that I can fit myself to hopefully be of maximum service to him and other people. And once again, I thank you for all the service you guys do. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. Donna B., please share with us, followed by Tom L.
Good morning. This is Donna B. My first name is spelled D-A-N-A in Denver, Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. I was at the OALA birthday party this past weekend and met a fellow who is often on this line. And I was laughing that just introducing myself takes a whole minute of my 3 minutes. I want to focus on these two words, firm resolution. And I am a person with firm resolution. And the way that looks in many areas of my life is that I commit myself to doing whatever it takes to get the outcome that I want. And in many areas of my life, that I want to say that kind of works. Often I can get to the outcome, but there are costs associated with that as well, especially when I'm in self-will run riot. But in the context of the food and my disease of compulsive overeating, that firm resolution failed to work. No matter how many times I said, I'm going to eat like this, I'm going to exercise like this, I was unable on my own power, with my own resources, with my own intentions to make the outcome look the way that I wanted to. Every morning that I woke up and said, I'm not going to binge today, and ended up at the coffee shop before 9 a.m. getting quote-unquote coffee that more resembled a milkshake and some pastries, I lived with a constant belief that I was a loser and a failure. So that firm resolution around food never worked for me. My father passed away on December 20th, and this firm resolution, the compulsion that I have to make outcomes look the way that I want, has been deeply triggered. So I am reminded that I am powerless over the food, and I'm also powerless over my compulsion to do and to do and to do. And I hear in my prayer and meditation that God wants me to rest and surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado, and we're sorry for your loss. Tom L., please share with us, followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning, everyone. Tom L. from California. I suffer from this disease in the form of binging, getting hundreds of pounds overweight, being unable to work, feeling very sorry for myself. And as someone has shared, I try to explain why I'm this way to myself. For me, it's a lot like being in a dream, and you know, I have to go to the bathroom or I have a headache or something, and all my dreams focus around imagined problems and imagined solutions to the fact that, you know, I have a headache or I have to go to the bathroom. And what has to happen is I have to wake up and, you know, take care of business. I can't imagine. Well, these two sentences, I may have heard it said, I think Harlan, of course, loves these two sentences. It's the prison house of this addiction. This is repeated over and over and over and over and over and over, year after year. I am one of those people who gets a very pleasant reaction from overeating. I did that for many years, and that, you know, it did have costs. I was a fat child and very embarrassed and socially, you know, fearful, and I suffered some insults, although not some as bad as some people. But I had the joy of food and the fantasy that came along with it. It's a very powerful psychic drug for me, much like heroin. Never tried heroin, but I'm sure I'd love it. It'd be very much like heavy carbohydrates or fat for me. But I reached the point where I tried to stop because it was bad. You know, I couldn't work. So I'd go on these diets that would last months, and I'd lose 150 pounds, you know, walking every day, you know, doing some crazy diet. And then I would succumb to the desire. Silkworth never uses the word obsession, strangely enough, as a psychiatrist. Desire is what, you know, I had this insane desire that food will fix it, and it makes it worse. Entire psychic change, all right. That was the real hard part for me, because I'm in a dream and I'm trying to solve the problem. One point I was solving the problem by staring into a light box. You know, you could buy for $700. You could turn on a light at 3 a.m. because I thought maybe it's the light cycle that was affecting me. Maybe I'd be, or depression. I tried therapy. I tried drugs for depression. Turns out if you eat a huge amount of food, you get depressed. I need an entire psychic change, which means I cannot solve the problem. A broken brain cannot fix a broken brain. How do you get a psychic change? There are many ways. This book suggests one of them. I am in my mid-50s. I don't have a lot of time left to find other ways. So I found a man who was using this book to good effect, who also suffered from the disease in the way I do. And I called him at 6:30 a.m. and said, what do I do?
Time.
And he started with, say, go to a lot of meetings, but another stuff too. Thanks for letting me share, and thank you, Dawn, for your service.
Thank you so much, Tom L. from California. Kathleen O., please share with us, followed by Deborah R., and if you're just joining us, we are on page XXIX, the third line down from the top of the page, beginning with, after they have succumbed to the desire again, through two sentences, ending, there is very little hope of his recovery. We're commenting on these two sentences only today. So after Kathleen O. and Deborah R. share, I will be taking some more names. Go ahead, Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you for your service, Dawn. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. How many times had I experienced this with this paragraph talking about? You know, the food wins. My allergies triggered, and I'm off to the races. I binge. And this spree, it could last for years, you know, years of waking up daily, feeling remorseful, and swearing off over and over and over. So the solution, an entire psychic change. And when this happens, and it happens, excuse me, through working the steps, I'm able to respond to life differently. There's an adjustment in our attitudes brought about by a spiritual awakening. So I don't know why for most of us on this line that when we eat certain foods, we react abnormally. I mean, for me, it seems to be the way I'm just genetically wired. When a normal person eats a flour sugar item, it's enough, and they don't think of it anymore. But when I ingest the same flour sugar item, there was no shut-off valve, and I'd get that phenomenon of craving. I wouldn't be able to stop eating it, and worse, I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was just this mental obsession, the physical allergy, and that craving, and not being able to think of anything else. I mean, what a waste of life. So just this entire abstinence, I needed an entire psychic change. And entire, I mean, am I going to just clean the kitchen or am I going to clean the entire house? You know, there's a big difference. We suffer from a spiritual malady. And it was the reason for my obsessive eating. And without addressing this spiritual malady, there was no hope for recovery. So when I practice the steps in my life, I'm able to respond differently. When I face fears, when I face resentments, difficulties, I don't need to pick up food. I make better decisions rather than chasing that ease and comfort that comes at once, you know, with picking up the food with a spree. So food is but a symptom, and the only relief suggested is entire abstinence and an entire psychic change. And I pass, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. from California. Deborah R., please share with us. Star one, Deborah.
Yes, I just came on. This is the first time I'm sharing. And so I recently relapsed, but I'm working my way back with the help of my higher power and the steps and my fellows. And I want to share today where it says, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over and over. And that was my life for years and years. And I just put on the pounds and put on the pounds and put on the pounds. And it just made no sense to me because I did have a habit of being every morning saying, I am asking for your help. I want to be able to stop eating the way I was. But not until I came to OA and realized that the reason I was overeating, or part of it, was due to the resentments that I had. And so being introduced to the 12 steps and saying, wait a minute, these resentments are building a barrier for me hearing of the guidance of God. The resentments were allowing me just to focus on me and not on other people, or being able to hear the word, what God wanted me to do, and to get the serenity that he offers. And so step by step, working the steps and with my sponsor, getting rid of all those resentments has opened me up to hearing what I should do and what's right for me, what's loving for me. And so that's what gave me the entire psychic change and what I'm working back towards now. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Deborah R., for sharing with us today. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on these two sentences. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Kimberly B., Oregon.
I heard Kimberly B., and who
Loretta H.
Loretta H.
Jennifer H.
Jennifer H.
Paula
and who,
G.
Was it, what was it, G?
Paula,
Peter,
Paula, and G, Gold.
Perfect, thank you so much.
Deborah G.
K.
Deborah G, and who was it, K?
Christy K,
and we'll stop there. Okay, I have Kimberly B., Loretta H., Jennifer H., Paula G., Deborah G., and Christy K. Kimberly B., please go ahead and start us off, please.
Thank you. Kimberly B. from Oregon, so grateful to be here on this meeting, and I so appreciated the share. I didn't catch the name of the person who did it, but thank you so very much. I hadn't looked at the list of, well, first of all, the psychic change that can come that's mentioned in this paragraph. I actually looked up those two other pages you mentioned where it talks about the devilments and the promises, and I just listed them in column form next to each other. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, God is doing this for me in this program. It's miraculous, and it's not my efforts. It's my higher power. Just yesterday, I mean, I used to sit with my sponsor and listen to her help me for an hour at a time go over the steps. And I was always amazed that she would do this for me. And yesterday I had the opportunity to help somebody for a lengthy period of time on the phone. And this is what God's doing to me. It's not me. It's not about something I was willing to do, but it's about the psychic change and the promises that are there that will gain interest in others and will know how to intuitively know how to handle situations. And this is happening in my life because of this 12-step program, and most importantly, because of my higher power. I'm just so grateful for this particular share and this realization this morning. that God is working in my life, and I'm so grateful for that. And I, Kimberly B. in Oregon, happy to receive outreach. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kimberly B. Loretta H., please share with us, followed by Jennifer H.
Good morning, Dawn, and good morning all along with my precious God. You are saving my life, Loretta H. in North Carolina. I just want to thank everybody for their shares. I relate so much. And when I think of you, Dawn, I think of my greatest passage in the big book, Cling to the Thought That in God's Hands, Our Darkest Past is Our Greatest Asset. And the dark before the dawn, oh, succumbing to that. And for me, it wasn't the bite. The bite defeated me immediately. It was never, then the four horsemen came into my life. Terror, bewilderment, frustration, just totally, totally defeated. And today I have this grace, and it was given to me by God first, the spiritual experience with having a nutritionist as my first sponsor, her coming to my home, and actually deleting my cabinets from things I didn't need to eat. And then her going to AA meetings, even though she never had a drink, to study this book so she could pass it on to me. So if that isn't a spiritual experience, and if that isn't a privilege, as Dr. Bob said, I have lost privilege to eat. But because I'm an anorexic, and that really is my obsession. I actually, that is where I get high. I don't get high from the first bite, but I have to remember that everything I eat today, because I am a true, real compulsive overeater, that it's a privilege, and I don't abuse that privilege, or I lose it, and then I go and fall again. So I love the shares. Somebody talked about Greenpeace the other day, and I love, to the newcomer, please keep coming back, because you help and remind me that I do this one day at a time, and I've been where you are, and I also need to hear that you, because it's a program of being of maximum service to God and others, that you too can have this grace, because that is why I'm here, to share my experience, strength, and hope. And abstinence is spiritual. My food plan is a tool, and I still send it out after 23 years because I need the two. What came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. All I know is that I have a spiritual malady and the X if I don't use the program and the steps and the tools to get into a state of being who he wants me to be. And with that, I pass. Happy day, happy destiny. In surrendered serenity, God sightings await. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Jennifer H., please share with us, followed by Paula G.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. This is Jennifer H. calling from Santa Clara, California. Thank you for your service and welcome to all the newcomers. I'm really glad to be on this meeting today. What stood out for me is I can relate to this whole paragraph. And what really stood out for me today is when the woman earlier was sharing about psychic change and about psychic being of the soul. That really stood out for me. I had always associated psychic with the mind, which makes sense, you know, the obsession of the mind. I am a compulsive overeater, compulsive exerciser, recovered today. But what it brought up for me was that in another program, I had known about the big book and I knew that it worked. And when I was at the bottom with my eating, I didn't know what to do until I ran into someone in the grocery store who completely touted this meeting and said it was strictly the big book and the big book and the big book. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the big book. I know that there is the solution there. And that is when I first came to this meeting and have had that psychic change as a result of getting a sponsor and working the steps. And what I realized in that time was, you know, the psychic change was of the soul. You know, I had triggered my eating disorder because I was trying to hide the pain that I was living with in a situation. And I didn't realize it at the time. And, you know, coming here and working this program and having a sponsor working the steps and reading the big book has allowed me, and very early in the beginning, allowed me to uncover that which what was eating me. And that I was able to use the rest of these steps and come to a solution with that. And I'm so forever grateful because this psychic change has come over me that I can continue to grow my soul in the power of the solution of this big book and continue to stay abstinent and sober in the food today because I'm working on what's eating me, not what I was eating. And I am glad to be here today and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Jennifer H. from California. Paula G., please share with us, followed by Deborah G.
I'm Paula G., compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. A little nervous because this is the first time I've shared in this meeting. I'm new to this meeting, in and out of the years for 25, in and out of the program for 25 years. And it wasn't until I started a big book workshop this summer that the psychic change started. I feel like I'm in my infancy. I have not put all of the pieces of the puzzle together, but I know something is changing. I think I can't quite put my finger on it. I am believing in a God because I just couldn't do it myself. And the people, there have been people around me wanting to help, but I was not listening. And I really viewed the people that have come to me in the past 6 months as angels of God, and they're lighting the way. I have to do the work. The obsession with food was a little active yesterday, but basically it's been lifted. I don't even recognize myself. I haven't had that feeling ever. I mean, maybe since I was about 10 years old. And I feel so grateful. My problem now is that my obsession moved from food to shopping. And I keep praying about it and keep saying that I'm not going to do it. And then I go do it. And I'm even planning on going this afternoon, making all kinds of excuses. And I can't be cured overnight. I'll never be cured. And I can't release these obsessions or let God take them from me at one time. It's one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. I know at this point in my life I'll get there because I have had that psychic awareness, and I'm willing to rely on a power greater than myself and let the people around me guide me, use them as the lanterns. So grateful to be here this morning, and I thank you.
Thank you. Paula, did you want to let us know where you're calling from?
Chicago.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Paula G. from Illinois. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Christy K.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. And thank you so much for your service and everyone else that has shared. Thank you all for 12-stepping me today. And everyone that's made this meeting possible, it's just been amazing. I just love that we can do this together. It just feels so good to start my day with this. And I never thought about any of this before. I was so caught up in that phenomenon of craving and that really insane thinking. I'll just try another OA program and tried all the OA program, all these things that my thinking tried, you know. And it wasn't until I woke up, I was doing a workshop, and I woke up, I had a fork in one hand, and I had the substance in the other hand that I wouldn't put down. That was it. I wouldn't put that alcoholic food down, and I kept using it and using it. I woke up and I thought, you know what? This is crazy. I'm not even tasting my food. And so I put it down. I was in visions, and I got myself an OA Vision sponsor, and she took me through the steps. And by putting that food down, I had more clarity. And I also felt that I got more honest, you know, and open-minded, and just allowing that beautiful divine loving presence for me that I call God to take me through, continue to get connected, get deeper and deeper and connected. And because I was so full of self-centered fear that I couldn't see anything else. And plus in that alcoholic food. And through that process, she took me through, you know, it was amazing. I went from that self-centeredness to other-centeredness. After I went through the steps, I started sponsoring and taking other people through the steps. And wow, that is a wonderful feeling. That was the psychic change for me and the transformation. It was the thinking change from that self-centered, other-centeredness, and that deeper connection, and living in 10, 11, and 12 now to continue to maintain that. And my sponsor reminds me, stay connected to God and help other people. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Christy K., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. Christy K. from Washington State, recovered compulsive overeater. How I related to this paragraph, I was thinking about how many times in my lifetime have I succumbed to the phenomenon of craving and gone off on a spree, just way too many to count. I never really understood the phenomenon of craving until I came to OA, and I was so happy to learn that I had a disease. I know that's strange, but it confirmed, I guess, that it wasn't my fault. I was always so remorseful after I went on a spree, and I promised myself I would start again on Monday or the beginning of the month, the start of the new year, et cetera, et cetera. And this was always on repeat until I came to this program, and I learned that it wasn't for a lack of my willpower. I just needed a psychic change that could only happen through a connection to a higher power. I always thought it was my fault. Many, many, many years ago, my mom was in OA, and I remember her telling me about this program and kind of laughing, saying, well, God's not going to help me with my food. It was just so out of my realm of understanding. So it's taken me a long time to get to where I finally and firmly believe that God can do for me what I can't do for myself. And I'm so glad that I found OA. It's taken me in the last couple of years two or three times to finally get to where I'm not relying on myself, that I'm relying on my God, and that has really changed my program for me. So thank you, Don, for your service, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Christy Kay. And to everyone who shared today, making this meeting just a beautiful experience. I'm now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Becca R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Hello, Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater. Sorry, I thought I had this pulled up. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.